This episode of Juicy Scoop is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Booking.com offers possibilities across the U.S. for all the travelers you want to be. From trendy boutique hotels to spacious apartments, with so many choices across the U.S., you can book whoever you want to be. So whether you're going with your family, your kids, a girls' weekend, maybe you want to book a five-star hotel to just indulge your luxury side, or maybe you're looking to book a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side. There are so many possibilities. Book whoever you want to be on Booking.com, Booking.yeah.
Heather McDonald has got the juicy scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment, serial data, and serial sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Heather McDonald, Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. I have a great show for you today. I spent more time with Brandy and Julie, some more hilarious topics with them, and then I do a great interview with one of the stars of Netflix Buying Beverly Hills. It's Michelle Schwartz, who had a very heated moment with Mauricio's daughters. We get all into that, how she got on the show, her life in real estate, now a TV star, and how production really works. Very juicy. But let me just remind you guys that all of my dates are on sale right now at heathermcdonald.net. I'm going to be next, May 3rd, in Phoenix. I've got Denver. I've got the Pechanga in Temecula. I've got San Diego, Saratoga, East Coast, Chicago, Texas. All of it is there at heathermcdonald.net. Go get those tickets right now. First, let me just get a little more fun, hot topic time with my girls, Brandy and Julie, hosts of the podcast, Dumb Gay Podcast. Welcome, dynamic duo.
We're back.
We're back. We've never even left.
No.
We've been staying here the whole time.
Okay, I want to talk about, there's supposedly another episode of Quiet on Set coming out. I don't know when it is and what we're going to see. But this guy, Steve Burns, Blue's Clues. Now, this means a lot to me because I watched a lot of this when my kids were little. Blue's Clues, Blue's Clues. And it was this guy, and my kids were very into it, especially, I think, Mackenzie and Drake. We would watch it. And anyway, then one day, they're like, he's retiring. He's leaving. And the whole thing was, hey guys, I'm going to college. Well, he looked like he was about 35 at the time, but he still looks the same. He looks pretty good. Mm-hmm. I don't know why he left, what he ever did. I don't know what happened to him, but he has come forward, and you know, of course, he's weighing in, saying, "Well, nothing happened to him because he was a full blown adult. He feels terrible about
everything."
Didn't
do anything, did he?
He didn't do anything. Okay. He's just like, I just want to check in, make sure everybody's okay. He did like a post or something about it, and anyway, then they replaced him with this younger, cuter brunette Blue's Clues guy.
Yeah.
And I was like, how many other moms were suddenly like, all right, hi, Blue's Clues. But anyway, I did see this thing and I thought this was a great idea. This is why I kind of put this, because you're like, why are you talking about this stupid topic? Anyway, I watched this thing where a TikTok where this baby was sitting and watching a TV, and it was this older woman reading a book, and she goes, my mom wanted to be part of caring for our child. So my mom started her own YouTube page that they could put on the TV of her reading stories and doing things. And I thought that was so genius, because instead of them going crazy to see some character, like, how great that then when they see their grandma come visit, they're like, this is the rock star
celebrity
that I see every day on my
TV.
That
Nana
is a great
TV
idea.
Yeah, there's Nana from TV, and it's so easy to do.
Oh my God, that's such a good idea.
It's such a good idea.
They love seeing screens. It doesn't matter who's on it more than,
and she's reading books
screens
and stuff and talking and teaching, but it's the grandma versus some other person that you think is maybe doing sadistic
exactly
messages or wearing Balenciaga. I don't know.
Yeah.
So this is one way you could like do it. I thought that was
genius. That's a great idea.
It really is.
So cute.
So now Ariana Grande, now these are this from The Blast. These are, you know, people think this is just rumors that the reason they're not talking, the reason that they, you know, is that did they get any hush money from their experience? Now, when we see Ariana Grande, they had her doing very sexual things with a potato. Yes. Can I squeeze a potato?
Yep.
And but they all, you know, but also they could have just told her to do that and she just did it. The same thing with Ray Romano. He was eating a pickle like a dick and in a clip because they told him to do it.
Because he loves dick.
What?
Because he loves dick.
Ray,
who knows?
Well, that guy Chris Schneider wanted everybody to do sexual things. He wanted the kids to do it. He wanted everyone to do it.
But also,
the
kids may have not even known that. But anyway, neither of them are talking, and I can see why. Elizabeth Gillis has been married to her guy for a while, and he's 20 years old. That she was Victorious or whatever. Her guy is 20 years older. His name is Michael Corcoran, and they met on set. And when they met on set, she was only 16.
Mm. Okay.
And then they started dating conveniently when she was 19. You know, whenever you meet and someone's under 18, you know, you just go, oh, well, wait, you know, of course.
I have a terrible take on this, though.
But they're still married. So I'm just saying, yeah.
My take is, and this is not going to be agreed with, which is fine. If you do take the hush money.
Yeah.
I think at that point, there's now an awareness of whether what happened to other people or what happened to you, maybe you didn't know, whether it be Michael Jackson. A lot of these people with Michael Jackson, let's say, they were paid and they were paid a lot of money. And then when the money ran out, and this is kind of the thing that we think Corey Feldman may dance around with, we're not sure because he's always saying he's going to come forward, but he never does. I feel like if you take the money and you're taking money to be silent, that you should then stay silent. Because you made a contract and you accepted money to do that, and you should honor the contract. That's the way I feel about it. If you didn't take any hush money, and now it's up to you to do what you will, and people can wait as long as they want to ever come forward. It's a scary thing. But if you were paid, then you should honor the contract you were paid for because you knew what you were doing when you took that money. And just because the money's gone now.
I'm sure whatever hush money there was, there's probably something that's like, I'm not admitting to doing this to you, but for the sake of lengthy trials and for us all to move on, my attorney, Michael Cohen, no, just kidding, would like to give you, you know, $130,000. So, but we're not admitting it. We're just saying we don't want this in the press. We want you to thrive. So there's probably something like that.
Yeah.
And then time goes on, and then with certain survivors, they might be like, you know what? I don't care. And I do want to share because maybe this person is still out there. You know, in the case of Michael Jackson, of course, he's dead, but they are feeling like with the two people from the Neverland thing, I don't know if they ever got, I can't remember. There were so many in different trials and everything. But one thing with Corey Feldman is once he weirdly became Michael Jackson with his music, when Michael Jackson was already kind of out of style, that's what I remember. I'm like, why is he doing Michael Jackson from like 1983 in like 1991? Like, I was like, why is he suddenly doing the dancing and everything? And he always said nothing ever happened. He was a total delight. But there was one story that I recall. So I'm not saying this is 100%. I remember reading some type of story that he said when he was hanging out with Michael Jackson, Michael Jackson said, oh, you should look at this anatomy book. And he opened this like science book or something, and it did have male genitalia. And that made him uncomfortable, and he like left. But he said that's all that's ever happened. He never touched him, blah, blah, blah. So
he implies
who knows?
He implies it's with other actors, Corey Feldman.
And he also, Corey says there's all these other people.
Yeah.
You know, business people, you know, executives and everything
right.
That's been happening for years. And when he came on my show years ago, it was a difficult, really difficult interview. And he was basically like, no kid should ever be on set, ever. And I was like, well, then how do you tell stories?
Yeah.
Like, there's some stories where you need a kid. Like,
yeah.
Are we never going to ever have children, like in shows or anything? Or, you know, certainly there's, you know, and I definitely think things have gotten safer and this story definitely helped it. But so, yeah, who knows? Todd Chrisley. Chrisley knows best, doing 11 years and his wife's doing 9 or something. He must pay $755 for a defamation lawsuit.
Against who?
I'll read it to you. It's back in July of 2021. This he claiming he falsely accused this woman. So this woman researched his case. okay, found out all the things he was doing, which he's now in prison for. So claiming that he falsely accused her, she's saying he accused her of illegally snooping on a government program to pull info on his family. It was also claimed he began a social media campaign against the GDOR, I guess that's what she worked for, and certain of his employees, contending that the investigation was illegal and improperly motivated. So according to the court docs, a Georgia judge has ordered that Todd Chrisley cough up $755 in compensatory and punitive damages and legal fees to Amy Doherty Hines after concluding that reality star, that he had launched a vicious social media crusade against her, saying she was a liar and she wasn't, and it was her job to do this, and therefore, will she ever see the money? It's going to be a long thing, but
wow,
interesting, right?
Yeah, very interesting.
Was she? Did she work somewhere, or do you think she was like an internet sleuth?
No, I think she worked. Maybe, I'm not exactly sure. That I have to go a little bit deeper because this just popped up. But
you got to be careful.
But
with
she
me.
Shared the information, and it was all accurate. But then he was like, "This person's an awful person. She's a liar. She's, you know, all this other stuff." And so then she was like, "Screw that."
Yeah.
And she went, and it was proven that she wasn't a liar. It
can't go around that, slandering that, someone's reputation yeah. and saying they're a liar when they didn't lie. When and you're the one with the bad reputation, right. Todd.
And you're yes. the liar, Todd.
Okay, this is a crazy story. This girl is named Elisa Giordana. A lot of people sent it to me because she was on Juicy Scoop, and it was kind of an odd interview. She came on the show because she was recently in the news a few years ago for being engaged to Andy Dick.
Oh.
And she wrote for Howard Stern, and she was in this like girl band, and she had this whole kind of crazy life story, and she's pretty. And then I was like, how the hell were you ever engaged to Andy Dick? Like, and isn't he gay or bi or whatever? And isn't he like a drug addict? Did he pass? Can you just see if Andy Dick's alive?
I think he's alive.
Anyway, he said he's been in and out of every
yeah.
bad situation. And basically, it was kind of crazy in the story where basically he was did not want anything to do with her. And she was like, but we're engaged. I'm trying to save. And I was like, were you really in love with him? Like, you really wanted to marry this guy. It was very, very odd. So that was the show. And it was odd. Then I go out to a restaurant and I see her. And she's like at that Wally's Cheese Bar situation.
In Beverly Hills.
Yes. No, I think we were in the one in Santa Monica. But anyways, with my girlfriend. And she's like, Heather, hi. And she's very attractive. And she's, you know, looking for a guy. We're talking. She has this like internet YouTube show, Kermit and Friends. And she does a lot of streaming. Now, what I've noticed, there's a lot of people that will stream all the time because I think they get money if you stream, like on TikTok or whatever, if you're streaming all the time. She was streaming and she's in a car with her boyfriend who didn't look like anything, no look or whatever. Like she's whatever. But I just thought it was weird. They didn't look like they matched, okay? And somehow this girl calls and she thinks that the girl is cheating with her boyfriend, whatever. And he's trying to defend himself. And they're streaming while they're driving.
So they're live streaming.
They're live streaming. And she smacks him. And then at one point, he grabs her hair, whatever. But she was, in fact, arrested because then he called the police and they had the evidence from the stream that she did, in fact, smack him, which is assault.
He called the police?
While driving.
Or the girl that was the cheater girl did. It's so weird. I was like, when this first came up, I thought, is this, again, like some weird publicity stunt?
Yeah.
Like, and they're kind of all in on it. It seems so weird. Like, I confronted, because there's like a lot of fake stuff on the yeah. internet where like, oh my God, this person confronted this person for cheating and they acting so bad. And you're like, this isn't true, but it still got a million.
Right.
And then you go down like four thing comments and someone's like, this is horrible acting. And then you're like, oh yeah, this is fake. But it still gets all those views to start.
Right.
So I was like, but no, she actually was really arrested and now said it was like the worst day of her life.
I mean, the lead, actually, to correct you, Heather, strangely, she said it was the second worst day of her life. And I was curious, what was the first?
Going on Juicy Scoop? I mean,
what could have been worse than this?
Like being engaged yeah. to, or probably what was worse is when Andy Dick blew you off. Like Andy Dick was like, you're too crazy yeah. for me.
Yeah. So when you're too crazy for Andy Dick, potato.
Yeah.
Okay? Potato.
Did you see about Ricky Martin's visible boner? So
Julie has.
I've watched it 50 times.
Okay, well then why don't you cover this story?
I don't know why he was there at the Madonna. He's at the Madonna show. She's doing like an homage to Vogue and all that stuff. So they're sitting on two chairs, him and Madonna, and they're critiquing all the, like, they're in a ballroom.
Yeah,
like
they have these cards, yeah. And always a celebrity does this every show.
Okay, so, like, they're in a ballroom, like, from the, you know, like, the old days where it'd be, like, tens across the board or whatever. Right. So he's watching, and you're, like, he's sitting there, and these two guys, or three guys, and it might be almost four.
It's like a group of men.
But the main two men.
Dancers
come up. Gorgeous, whatever.
Rubbing on him.
Rubbing on one down in his lap, the other one behind that guy.
Yes,
doing
it
was in the B.
It was very sexual.
Extremely.
Very, very sexual. So he's loving it and just enjoying it. And then you just see the tent appear in the pants. And at one point he gets up and it's just like, he's got a boner.
He starts kind of flinging the tent around.
Yes, he's like, trying to wiggle it off, I think. But he was...
Shake it off.
He's trying to shake it off.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty, you know, because some people are like, oh, it was just like his pants and the pants are loose and blah, blah, blah. But I mean, I'm no expert, but it looked like a bone.
I have not gone to this Madonna concert. I've gone to many others. Seeing a lot of clips from it. I heard it's great. If someone wants to give me a free ticket, fine. But I really didn't have the great. But then last night we were at dinner with a couple and they said that they went and I did not realize this. And this is what will make me not want to go. Oh. To protect her voice, she keeps the arenas very hot.
No.
She doesn't turn on the air.
No. It's just one big room of BO.
I'm like, yeah, I'm okay. I'm okay with... starting at 10:30, even though it's supposed to be 8:30. But if you're not going to turn on the air, so, and then of course, people are annoyed that she comes on at 10:30. Well, now you know she comes on at 10:30. But since the ticket was for 8:30, there was a class action suit against her. And she and her attorneys are saying, we'd like this thrown out because there's no real damages besides like being tired the next day for work that constitutes money that I kept you. You know, so instead of going to, you know, getting in your car and everything, going to bed at 12:15, you went to bed at 3 a.m. And then you had to wake up the next day to drive your kid to school. So, like, fortunately, nobody got in a car accident. Like, I mean, trying to say the trauma, the same lawsuit that you guys are trying to do against me for making you watch Seeking Sister Rides and the other orgasm documentary. Mm-hmm. Like, it's going to be hard to prove, you guys.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but
even for Mark Garagos,
I think
when a court of law and a jury sees Seeking Sister Wife and the Vagina Show, I think we have a pretty strong case.
And then the text of me being like, hey, do you guys mind watching this? jury, please.
Exactly.
So anyway, I'm very disturbed by the air conditioning
situation.
That's
horrific. That is horrific.
Now, this is kind of interesting. This woman went out on Facebook and was like, hey, my husband loves attention and please somebody help find him because he up and left when I was pregnant with our second child and I don't know where he is and I'd like to serve him with divorce papers. So could somebody please find him so I can divorce his ass? The internet went crazy. It blew up. They found him within 24 hours. They found his Bumble profile, all of this stuff. He was somewhere like in Texas.
You know where he was? He was with Annette Bening in Apples Don't Fire from the Tree.
Out of the mountain cabin.
In Georgia with Lynette / Savannah hiding out, hoping that his wife would remember how much she should appreciate him.
Yeah, this does sound like, but he was, I love that, worst show ever on Peacock. I did a special Patreon on it. I made them watch it. I didn't really make you guys watch it. You said
we were
wanted
inspired to watch it.
That we are going to put it in the lawsuit.
That's going to be another addendum. Okay. Anyway, I just thought it's amazing that women can find a fucked dude. Like if a guy is a cheating, like trying to date other women, multiple women. But like what is crazy is there's so many grifter women out there that I'm sure screw guys and act like they love them and take their money and whatever. But a bunch of guys will never bother to find, like, it's so, I think it's just like with girls that do it to guys, they kind of expect it might happen. Like, oh, you're with a beautiful girl. She was younger than you. She blew you off and took your money. And then the guy's too embarrassed to say, she really didn't like my dick that much. She just liked my wallet. But when it happens to a woman, women always believe that the guy loves them because they're fabulous. They're like, finally, somebody gets me. They fall for it, the Dirty Johns and everything. And then they find out he's dating all these people or he left. And women are like, I got you, girl. And if women could support women in all aspects of life, not just when they're screwed over by a romantic dude, but in all aspects of life, we could be so much further along.
Women are 52% of the population, not 49, not 50, but larger population. Just think about that for a second.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It made me think maybe Todd Chrisley's lady found this guy since she can do the sleuthing. And this looks, maybe she wants to get the divorce because she wants to marry someone else. And perhaps it's that guy, Morgan Whalen.
Oh, from the chair?
Literally looks like the same woman.
Meanwhile, they're like, woman finds husband working at a gastropub.
This I thought was really funny. There's a spirit, you've heard of Spearmint Rhino. It's a strip club.
Yes.
Well, they're suing Peppermint Hippo for trademark. And I thought that is kind of funny because normally it's not the same name. But it is a minty flavor, spearmint or peppermint, rhino or hippo. Mm-hmm. They're both strip clubs. So they're suing for it. And, you know, of course, Juicy Scoop is trademarked. So I'm like, what could that be? Because we always think if they're such juicy or they're scooping it, there might be a trademark violation. But someone now, if they win, someone could call themselves the Moist Poop.
Right.
They could.
The Moist Poop
they could.
Podcast. And they may or may not have a problem with it. I don't know. Because juicy and moist.
Yeah, they could do, it could be
poop anything. And scoop. You scoop a poop.
Yeah. You do.
People can say, hey, I'm a moisty pooper. Love you.
Moisty pooper.
Moisty poop on tour. And then they're like, I thought Juicy Scoop was on tour. That's I meant different. To go to Juicy Scoop, but I accidentally ended up at the poop. Moisty At the Moisty Poop.
Moisty Poop. Moisty Poop.
Stand-up experience.
People should be careful.
I think I have a Jewish cousin named Moisty Poop. Moisty Poop. Poopberg. Moisty.
I have to just say, I am so sick of these clickbait things, and I will bring it up all the time, Tamara and Vicky of OC. How?
And Kim.
Who? Kim. And Kim. And just Kim Zolciak does it too. How? Why do you guys keep doing this? You're on TV shows. You're on a successful comedy tour.
The Moisty Poop comedy
tour. You don't need to do this. So she did this photo. Like, I need your prayers. The clickbait. So I'm like, I got to see what this clickbait is. So we went through. It's just old body cam video of when she and Corey got in a fight and the police came. Ugh. But the photo is her with an oxygen in her and like her heart and everything. So I need your prayer. So you would think you're either getting some testing done, you had a heart attack, whatever. They'll just throw any photo up about anybody, themselves or other people. And
yeah, that was like back from when she had her stroke 7 years ago.
I want someone to know, how much are you getting for this, Tamara, Vicky and Kim? How much are you getting for these clip bait things? Is it every article, it's $1,000? You know, and you just give them access to your Facebook and you post it? Or is it like 150? Maybe it's so much. They're like, I don't care that Heather keeps bringing it up. And I don't care that I cause my followers to waste 6 minutes they'll never get back clicking through this shit.
When you went
for info and no real story.
When you went to the link in the bio, was it an external link?
Like, yeah, you have to go a couple times.
Oh, so then it's clicks on that
website.
That's
what I'm saying. It's clicks,
So if you get, you know, if they're getting 10,000... I'm happy to pretend I'm in the hospital.
Oh, so now you're going to do it?
Yeah.
Everybody.
For my 14 followers.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, you guys. You can find out what their ailments are at julieandbrandy.com.
Julieandbrandy.com is the website.
It's the website for their funny Patreon, for their great podcast, Dumb Gay Podcast, to come see us. Of course, in the next shows to come see us are in Phoenix and Denver in May, heathermcdonald.net. But now for my juicy interview. you guys know I do my own hair. And sometimes it's relaxing. Sometimes it just takes too much time and I don't really love the final result. Well, let me tell you what I'm loving right now. It's Way's new anti-frizz cream. Because who wants to be frizzy? Grab Way's new anti-frizz cream because it's a lightweight cream that provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. I also love that it protects my hair against heat because I blow it. I use a curling iron. Sometimes I've used a straightener. And it really can get dry. And this really helps reduce and repair split ends, which I also suffer from, because it comes with this intense hydration, which we all need. I also love their leave-in conditioner. I use their detox shampoo once a week. That really helps get rid and clean the product buildup. Also hard water deposits, all of it. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to TheWay, TheOuai.com, and enter the promo code JUICY for 15% off any product. That's TheWay.com, promo code JUICY. This episode of Juicy Scoop is brought to you by Booking.com, Booking.yeah. Booking.com offers possibilities across the U.S. for all the travelers you want to be. From trendy boutique hotels to spacious apartments with so many choices across the U.S., you can book whoever you want to be. And by that, I mean, when it's me, do I want to be the traveling comedian? Maybe I'm bringing my son. Maybe I'm bringing an opener. I do it when I was booking hotels on the college search for my son. That was super easy. That was special. I am looking forward to doing a girls' weekend soon and be with my college sorority sisters. Also, Peter and I have a wedding in September. I want something fabulous. So maybe you want to, I know I do, want to book a five-star hotel to indulge your luxury side. Or maybe you're looking to book a remote cabin in the woods to explore your adventurous side. There are so many possibilities. Book whoever you want to be on booking.com, booking.yeah. That's booking.com, booking.yeah. Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. Well, you know I've been talking about Buying Beverly Hills on Netflix, the second season. That's Mauricio's big agency, drama-filled second season of this show. And I have one of the stars, Michelle Schwartz, who had a lot of drama this season. Welcome to Juicy Scoop for the first time.
Thank you for having me.
You are featured as the realtor and you are managing one of the agencies out in the Valley. Is that correct? Is your position?
I'm actually the first female managing partner in the whole company. Okay. And I run three offices in Studio City, Sherman Oaks, and Calabasas with about 160 agents.
Well, there you go.
Yes.
And you have those moments where you're like, yeah, I've done it. Okay. And you just fall off a turnip truck. And I love that. First, let me ask you, being that you were one of the first founding people, so let's get back to, let's just get a little background on you. Like, what made you come to real estate? Did you go to college before? Like, what is your history? How did you get here?
So thank you. I went to USC for college.
So did I.
I know. When I graduated, I said I didn't know what I wanted to do. And I said, and my dad says, well, what are you going to do in life? And I said, I'm going to be an actress, daddy. And he's like, well, no, you're not. You have to get a job. So he says, you like to talk on the phone a lot. And I said, yes, I do. And he says, okay, you should go into PR or into real estate. And so Mauricio has been a longtime friend of the family.
How did you meet? How did he become a longtime friend? What was the connection?
My dad's from Mexico City.
Oh.
So Mexican Jews. My dad and Eduardo are still very, very close.
That's Mauricio's dad?
That's Mauricio's
dad. Uh-huh.
So we all grew up together, you know, going on ski trips and what have you. So I've known him most of my life.
So did you know him before he married Kyle?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How funny. And now, but he didn't. Did he go to college, Mauricio?
According to his book, he did not.
Okay. Yeah. wasn't he like either selling suits or a personal trainer or something before?
He was selling
Kyle
suits.
And he...
Schmatas.
Oh, okay.
He was selling schmatas. No, yes, he was selling suits. He's told me this story, and I read it in this book, and on Christmas Eve, I think one year he lost his job and they were down in the dumps, and it sounds like, you know, he had such a great partner that they were able to kind of figure it out and build it up together, and that's
Kyle,
why he got his
Kyle.
Yes, with Kyle, of course. And that's how he ended up getting his real estate license. So
you knew him when then he got the real estate license, And of course, Kathy Hilton's husband, Rick Hilton, Kyle's brother-in-law, he had the Hilton and Highland. Was that his first agency that he went to? So he was working there first?
To be honest, I don't know. Okay. I would assume so based on what I've read. But I don't know. I mean, he and I are about 10 years apart. So there's obviously like a natural
age
gap.
Difference.
Yeah, there's a natural gap. And when you're growing up, to the interest level that I had in his life was probably little to none until I got to a certain age where I started becoming aware of the people that were around me. But when I graduated, I called Mo and I said, you know, tell me about real estate. And this
and at that time, agency had not been developed yet. He was still,
Yeah, and this is still probably, he was significant on his career, but he certainly wasn't like the mega realtor that he is.
And this is before Kyle was on Real Housewives.
Yes, way before. So I kind of picked his brain about real estate and I picked someone's brain about PR and I ended up going in the PR angle.
Oh, you did?
I did. So I worked for a company for a very short period of time, and then I started my own PR firm. So I had my own PR company for about 8 years. And then when I was pregnant, I was buying a house, and I realized that there was an opportunity that I could maybe do better than what my realtor did. And I started recognizing the similarities in the marketing tactics that could be used from what I was doing for products and companies and how to apply it basically into real estate. So my transition was when I got pregnant with my first son. I called Mo and I said, guess what? I'm pregnant. And he's like, mazel tov. I'm like, that's not why I'm calling. I'm calling because I'm going to transition into real estate. He said, great. Have your baby. Get your license. Let's go. Call me when you're ready. And so that's what I did. And he was working at Hilton and Highland at the time. And I remember going into his office and he's like, okay, what is it that you want? And you see this on the show. I mean, we have a little convo about it. And I just said, you know, I don't want to be an assistant. I don't want to work for someone else. I want to just observe and be the next you, essentially, is what it was. And that was before Real Housewives, before any of that. So
then you joined the Hilton and Highland, too.
I did, with him.
Oh, yeah, okay. So then cut to the moment where, you know, he tells it on the show. We never really knew why he left, but it made sense. Yeah. And when I had Kyle on the show, you know, I grew up in real estate. I was a realtor. And I was like, so Kyle, there's got to be some women now that you're on the hottest show that that are like, okay, I really want to be friends with Kyle. So let's list our house with Mauricio. I'm like, does he ever kind of know that and bring you to dinner or to a listing appointment? And she's like, totally.
Oh, that's so interesting.
She's like, yeah, of course. Like, you know, she played the game well as far as, you know, being
helping
a supportive
promote.
Wife.
Yeah.
Why not? And so,
well, it all goes into the same pot, right?
Right.
So
yes.
It's all good. Yeah.
And then it made sense that, you know, with the great, you know, press of the TV show and all those eyes on you, that he decided to do his own thing. He explains it really well in the show. He says, you know, he had this incredible year and he was like, I would like to be a partner in the firm. And they were like, no. Now, I do want to say, I think there's something really interesting about that because a lot of people have talked about it. And now real estate changes and we never had teams and stuff like that. But like when my parents did really well, they would always, you know, always people would be coming at them wanting to take them out to dinner, da 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 da. We'll give you, you know, to the point where they're like $100 a month is all you have to pay and you keep 100% of commission.
You mean poaching?
Because we just, poaching, but also we just want your name at this place because it'll attract other agents.
Correct.
But like, but normally the better you do, the larger amount of the commission you get to keep. So when you start, it's like 50-50, then it goes to 75, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So in his case, was that really that weird that the Hilton and Highland would be like, you're doing great. Like maybe we give you even a larger point of your commission or whatever, but maybe we don't want to have another partner. It's fine that he left, but I didn't think that's like a thing that normally happens where people get like a law firm. It doesn't really work like a law firm, does it?
I think it does, depending on the size of the brokerage. I mean, a lot of brokerages, these like probably when your parents were doing real estate and even still today, there's very few that are kind of like mom and pop owned. There's either the mom and pop that are tiny or their franchises.
Okay.
And the franchises don't really have many, I don't think they have many options for bringing in partners. You have an owner, and usually the owner is not a salesperson.
Got it.
So they want to have certain pillars within their office. But it's my understanding that with Hilton and Highland, it was a single office, you know, business. And so they probably just wanted to keep it small.
Right.
But, you know, at the agency, we have many partners. We have people with title partner titles.
So when he created the agency, so what I realized is that it is a franchise. He does not own all the offices. It's like someone would get that office, and so he's just the CEO. He's just like the spokesperson of it. Explain it, because I found it to be confusing.
So California, because you get your brokerage license in California, right. So the California offices are all owned by our headquarters in Beverly Hills.
So he owns those?
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yes. And then obviously he owns a name and likeness, okay, among other people. And then that can be franchised. And so then they have access to our assets and to our systems, our internal like custom systems. And so, but I think as a broker, they can't function outside of California, right? So each independent office each office outside of California is independent. I want to say New York, we acquired a company in New York. So they are part of us as well.
So you go with him to the agency. What year was that?
Oh my gosh, I was giving birth. I was literally having contractions with my second son as they're like, okay, quick, get your stuff out of Hilton and Highland. We have a new office. Literally having contractions.
Yeah.
And that was September 1st of 2011. And my son was born the 8th.
Okay. So you continue to work.
It's my baby, yeah.
You continue to work. And I'm surprised it took this long, honestly, for there to be a reality show about the agency.
Uh-huh.
And being that there was the success of Million Dollar Listing and there was even Selling Sunset, did you hear the talk leading up to we're going to have a reality show too? And what was your thoughts?
I think it's a genius marketing play.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, much like all of the efforts that were put in from both Kyle and Mo, I mean, Real Housewives of Beverly Hills was essentially a billboard for the agency.
Right.
And it
absolutely
has been. So,
yeah.
I mean, he's kind of like the Kris Jenner of real estate, right?
Right.
The Popager, let's call him. I mean, I think it was a genius play. It was a matter of like, what's it going to be like? Because we don't want to be like those other shows. And in fact, we had several teams that were on those shows. So we had to kind of be very tactful about how we were going to portray.
You mean they
us.
Were just, they weren't regulars, but they were like presenting an offer or something?
No, like we had team members or we had agents within our office and within our company that were on some of the other shows, like Million Dollar Listing.
As a regular star?
Yeah. Like James and David.
Oh, they were part of the agencies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
And Tracy Tudor was with us for a while, and she left a long time ago, well before the show. But yeah, uh-huh. I mean, we've had people come and go that are on the other shows.
Okay, got it.
And I think that Mo was probably approached for it, but it wasn't the right opportunity for him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was really, I was interested to see, like, what's our show going to be about, right?
Right.
And, you know, just kind of leading, segueing you into another question, like,
yeah.
You know, after seeing season one, I was like, what? Like, come on, we can do better.
I felt the same.
Yeah.
I felt season one was pretty boring. I did appreciate that it was very realistic about the most realistic about the actual business.
Yes.
Versus Selling Sunset and even Million Dollar Listing, though I love Josh Flagg and I like Tracy. It's a little bit like, you know, okay, got a deal. Like, you never saw any, like, the struggles of it. And the
it doesn't happen that quickly.
Yeah.
You're not standing. You're just sitting in a conference table negotiating and stepping outside. Like, that's not how it's
right.
done.
So and the poaching and all that. I liked that, you know, but I did think it was a little dull. Well, we didn't know that Kyle and Marisa were having any troubles.
Right.
I didn't find like the two, you know, the Alexia, the second daughter of theirs. There's Farrah, who was already working there. I didn't really find, like, her stumbling and not knowing how to turn on a light, like, that interesting. You know, I was kind of like, okay. But of course, the second season comes, and we know now what's going on, which is sad about the demise of the marriage, though they both seem to be doing okay, but it's juicy. And so what made you then go, did they ever approach you for the first season? Like,
yes.
Or what? Okay.
Yeah, there was a big casting call for the first season. I made it pretty significantly down the
line. Did you have
line.
Someone come actually film you, like showing a house? Like, what was your reel like that you gave to the producers?
Oh my God, are you kidding? It was like zero lighting, no microphone, Adobe, like quick, whatever, the quick movie, whatever it is, on my computer of me just ranting for 6 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Unedited. Right. Send it in. And I was just like, whatever. Fuck and then, it. Whatever and then what happens. Happened? And I got a call 24 hours later.
Yeah.
They're like, okay, we want to meet with you. Like, what is this? What have you done? Like, no one, you know, again, like submitting a 6 minute reel of me just verbal diarrhea, right? And basically speaking.
Was it ever getting competitive with other agents that, like, did you feel that once the first season came out and also all the press it got and all the eyes on it because of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, being that you were a manager at these real estate office, when someone would come and want to hang their license there, did you feel like sometimes like, okay, are you really here to sell some real estate? Or are you trying to get on the show and meet Mauricio?
Well, Mauricio is accessible to everyone. So for me, like anybody who wants to be surrounded by him, I think is completely acceptable within like our organization. We, you know, he'll go out on a listing appointment with a newer agent if that means that we can get that listing. If that would be impressive, right? If that lands the listing, then he's all for it. And that's what all of us managers do. So that part I have no problem with. But no, actually, I didn't hear about anybody wanting to be part of the show. I didn't even know I wanted to be part of the show. I mean, yeah. I had, if I can tell you what was happening in the moment.
Yes, tell.
Okay. So hopefully this puts a little of my energy in perspective.
Okay.
I filmed the video, I think, like March of last year. And I had my mother and my sister, 1 month apart from each other, had passed away. So November and December, I had passing of each of them. So it was, this is literally what happened. So I'm cooking Passover Seder. Which
wait,
is,
I'm sorry. They, yeah. They passed in November and December. And
my
then
sister in November and my mom in December.
In 22?
In 22.
And then in March 23.
This is me.
Okay, so continue. Okay, sorry. Yeah. I just wanted
to. No, I'll get
it. And I'm so sorry for your loss. It's horrible.
It sucks. Yeah. So anyone, you know, you have one person pass, it's hard enough.
Ugh.
Two. So really what it was is, look, the Jewish holidays are really important to us. I host all of them. I cook all of it. And my mission, you know, is just kind of keeping my mom's energy alive. And a lot of it is through food. So my, you know, for Seder, I was cooking and my mission was to teach my boys how to make Nana's brisket. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted everyone out of the kitchen. My emotions are overwhelming because this is just so important for me and for the kids and just all the pain and all that stuff. And my father-in-law walks into the kitchen, shows me his phone, and it's a text message of the agent Tyler, like asking if he wants to sell his property. And so I was like, what the fuck, right? I was like,
oh, this is where the storyline comes. Okay, so yes. An agent, Tyler,
yes,
was reaching lovely. Out to your father-in-law.
Okay. She didn't know it was my father-in-law, but it was like, it was in that moment that all of it was
got
hitting
it,
me.
Got it.
And so we can.
And she was just cold calling. How does she have a cell phone number? How does that work?
Sorry, y'all. It's all out there.
You can get people's cell phone numbers now.
Cell okay. phone, email.
Okay.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
Most of the landlines don't work anymore
right.
these days. So
obviously,
the cold
yeah,
calling
you're right.
Work
of course
that way.
It would have to be your cell phone. Okay. Continue.
So I got very heated about it and I didn't know who she was. I'd never met her before. My knee jerk reaction was to call and like shut it down and be like, take my clients off of your list. Right. But again, in my frame of mind and my like, you know, excitement, but not in a good way. Right. My energy was just so intense and I went off on her, much like she says, you know, I bit her head off. I don't think she even like spoke, honestly. But it was the next day that I filmed that 6 minutes. So let's just also say like I was reeling off of it and I was coming on the heels of this having just happened.
So in your
happened.
6 minutes, you kind of tell the story?
Yeah.
Oh, so that's, they were like, we already have a juicy
yeah.
story.
Yeah.
Okay,
and
good.
I didn't know that she was a cast member too. Like I had no idea.
You
so
thought she was a
I was
random
just telling a story of things
agency.
That happened
yeah.
within the company.
Right.
I didn't know.
But you know what's great about that, how you explained it, is that I kind of felt like that, and we'll go to the other moment that, you know, wasn't so great for you, is that you so many times when someone's like, I will say about myself and about other people, I'm like, sometimes something just hits you on the wrong day.
Right.
It just hits you on the wrong day. On another day, you'd be like, other days you're like, you know what? Like,
and, it's human.
But it's still that person received that version of you, and it's their story to tell that they got a gross version.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. It's out there, you know?
Yeah. And right. I'm honestly like, is that something that I do on a regular basis? No. Do I pride myself on that reaction, or am I, you know, would I choose to do it again like the same way? No, but it is what it is, and it did happen, and I take responsibility for the way that I spoke. But I also think that what's interesting is that you see that she kind of calls out a couple times behind the scenes or in other conversations, like, I think something else is going on. And when she says it to me in the scene, I was like, whatever. Like, what are you talking about? Like, you don't know what's going on in my life. And I didn't react to it. But in real life, after that scene, I went home and I sat with that for a while. And that was what resonated with me from her conversation with me. And I said to my husband, I was like, oh my God. Like, she saw that, and I didn't even know that I was giving that. Like, she saw it. It was a big thing. And you know, she and I have had many a conversation since. I like her very, very much. I don't think it was a malicious outreach. But as you know, in this industry, we have to kind of like protect our territory of sorts, right? So it was a little bit of like the mama bear wanting to protect my clients and my own business and like, no, don't step on my toes. I don't step on yours. But at the same token, like, did she deserve the lashing that I gave her? Like,
well, I had something like this and I can totally remember.
Okay, tell me.
So I had a friend, we were whatever, both like in our 30s or something, young mom, friend from the school. So we sell her, we go through, showed her so many properties, found a house, did the offer, was in escrow. And then she was just like, I want out. We don't think we can afford it. Fighting with the husband.
Cold feet. Yeah.
Whatever. Then we have this other listing come out, and this broker's like, oh, I have these clients. Can we get in early? They have so much money. They don't know what to do with it.
And it's them.
We let them come, and it's them. And I'm like, hi. So then afterwards, I call her, and I go, are you back looking for a house? And she goes, yeah, we just ran into this woman like on an open house. And I'm like, all right, I need to, sometimes I'm like, you need to educate these people, like what the loyalty is. And I would like show people property. And at the end of showing property, I'd be like, I know today was really fun, but unless you buy through me, I don't get anything from it. You can't walk into an open house. Here's a stack of cards, blah, blah, blah. You know, so anyway, I had a conversation. She's like, oh, okay. Well, she didn't want the house anyway, but she's like, okay, I'll work with you. So then I guess she went back to that realtor and was like, I'm going to work with Heather because I've known her forever, whatever. That woman, realtor called me and she was pissed and I got it. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I wasn't trying to poach her. She really has been my friend for 10 years. We had two offers with her last year. But even at that point, I was like, I don't really care because I kind of felt like they were full of shit and they weren't going to buy. And in the end, they bought like, you know, direct from the seller through their brother, whatever. They wasted people's time. Right. But I did get the scolding
from the other
like
agent.
As a poacher and like, how dare you? And your parents have this sterling reputation. Like, who are you? And I'm like, and I like remember, like, I'm still embarrassed by it because
But I don't know if I don't know if embarrassment is the right word. I don't know that you should be embarrassed by it.
Well,
it didn't work out anyway, right?
Yeah. I mean, if she wasn't my personal friend prior to that, like, sure, I wouldn't have fought for it. I would just been like, oh, hey, I guess you didn't like my work on the two escrows I put you in that you flaked on. Anyway, so then we get into this moment where you're at the office with the guys. Yeah. And again, I think this was just like a venting moment that if there weren't cameras, I don't think it would have been that big of a deal. Because you were basically, as a viewer, I saw you being like, look, I don't know what Alexia or Farah or Sophia, who's just like 23 years old, is ever going to do. They are the daughters of Mauricio. But like, if there's going to be a female in charge of shit, it should be me. Like, you basically, am I right? You basically say, it should be me. I've done this. I've been there from the beginning. I'm older than them. I have much more experience. But they go with that info and tell the girls, and it was bad.
Well, I mean, I call in Spanish, we call it like a metiche, like someone that just like inserts themselves who's nosy. And like, it was like they took something that I said and wanted to run with it.
Right.
And
now when you left that office, knowing there's cameras and knowing that you didn't say there were, you know, horrible brokers. You're just basically like, they're clearly not ready anytime soon to, you know.
Thank you for understanding
that. To take over the thing. But because they are who they are and they're the stars of the show and they're the daughters, did you leave?
Or Ben and Joey are trying to get their place in there, right?
Right.
And using me as a stepping stone as well.
But did, right, the two guys.
Yeah.
But did you think when you left, did you have any regrets? Or were you like, ooh, that was a juicy scene? Like, what was your thought when you left being like really, you know, coming forth with your thoughts?
I mean, look, I'm a novice to reality television, right? So any acting that I've done in the past, which was just in classes, right, has been scripts. It's not very, you know, it doesn't affect you and it doesn't bite you in the ass later, right? Whatever you say. So I feel like when I was filming these scenes, like I go red, right? Like I do not remember what I said yesterday. And there's time in between each time we're filming. It's not like a, you know, back-to-back days. So I didn't think anything of it because I don't even know that I remembered saying it. Right? And so, you see that later because then it's like, so it bites me.
So you're at the open house. They tell Alexia, which I have to say, I'm very impressed with Alexia.
So am I.
I'm very impressed with just her
poise.
And also her interpersonal communication skills for a young woman, real estate aside, the way that she can express her feelings, like when the one guy that she dated briefly, but they were platonic friends now, talked about her and how she approached him and was like, this is my reputation. I don't like that you said that. Like, I felt she's just very forthcoming, like, very impressed with her.
I agree.
And so she gets the scoop and you have this big open house in Encino and they approach you.
Don't you think it was shitty that they did it at our own listing? I mean, I get it that it's a show, but it was shitty.
I mean, I want to crawl into the ground thinking about it for you. It was bad. It was bad because they come right to you as two women and they're like, why would you talk about a woman like that? And I did think that one thing I thought was, again, very good on their part.
What,
which
playing
I respect.
The anti-woman
no,
role?
No.
Oh.
But the one thing I've noticed about younger women, what some of the positives about them, is that they have no qualms about, like, pointing out, like,
confrontation?
Yeah, confrontation and pointing out and being like, da-da-da-da.
Right.
And so to have this younger woman be like, why would you say that? And I could tell that you were, like, not totally remembering what you said.
I totally did not.
And your blue eyes looked great, though. Even though it was at your open house.
Thank you.
And but the golden hour on the blue eyes were very good in the Encino sun. But it was a moment where I was like, I'm dying for this woman.
Yeah.
Because it looked bad.
Well, by the way, I was shaking afterwards. When I didn't, obviously, I didn't know it was happening. I didn't know it was coming.
Because, of course, they approach you. They're like, how dare you say this about us?
Yeah.
You know, why would you say it? And so I was thinking if I were you, I'd be like, oh, my God, what's Mauricio going to think? Also, this is on TV, and I'm going to look like I am, like, a little snippy bitch. Like, what were all the thoughts going through your head?
I'm like, what the fuck is happening?
Yeah.
You know, like, there was a part of me that, like, again, I'm new to this. I'm like, is this real? Is this really, you know, is this really happening? Right?
Right.
Oh, my God, like, holy shit. Like, it was all of that, like, coming back to me going, like, wow. But, you know, our conversation up there truly was probably about 20 minutes long. So you only capture, you know, elements of it. And, you know, I think that they interpreted it like that I was trying to, like, almost, like, recruit, like, Ben and Joey to, like, hey, come on my team as, like, I want to take over. You know, I don't know. I think that's what they were, that's how it was maybe delivered to them. Like, hey, she gave us this juicy thing and why would she tell us? And, you know, you see all of this, the back end of, they were.
I think it came off like they came to her like, this woman is insecure and talking shit about you.
Yeah.
And it's not cool and it's not nice and we're going to tell you.
I don't think I was talking shit about them.
No, about the girl. That's how they took the message. The guys took the message to the sisters as Michelle was talking shit about you, as you are two women that there's no way you two women can stand in front of a room full of suits, meaning male executives.
Right.
Which is a little sexist and a little old school. Like, I could see why. I'm just saying, I could see why it was interpreted that way.
I mean, but I think it's just a phrase. It's a term. It's a term.
Agree. I know where you're coming from as far as experience. If any, you know, because even the talk of it, you'd be like, I had something very, I just thought of this. Okay. And this is funny. Okay. Just to bring it back to me. I had something like this happen years ago, about 6 years ago on my, I have like a Facebook group where you gotta be let in because you gotta know what the podcast is about, whatever. And it's a lot of people. It's like 45,000 people. But years ago, some people bring up topics like they would say, who's watching Buying Beverly Hills? Then people talk. And I allow that topic to go up. So someone wrote, if Andy Cohen was ever to retire, who should take his spot hosting the show? So all the comments are, you know, everything from whatever, Kathy Griffin to this guy to whatever. And literally, like, not one person saying me, okay?
And you're like, this is my page, I'm like, this assholes. Is my page.
So, again, kind of hit me on the wrong day. And, like, because I spent all these hours on this group. The group doesn't make money. There's no ads on the group. It's kind of, whatever. So many other people have gotten rid of their group because it turns toxic and whatever. But I'm like, no, I'm going to keep the group. People have made friends in the group, whatever. So I wrote something like, are you guys serious? Like, are you not even going to look at me like this? What? I was kind of joking the fact that nobody had said me. But anyway, years later, this enemy of mine, I thought he was a friend, turned out to be an enemy. He goes on his show and he brings that up as if it was done like yesterday.
Okay.
And was like, I can't believe Heather is saying like she wants Andy to retire and that she wants to take over, when that wasn't at all
the context,
the case. But it was like, who do you think you are? And I was like, well, no, I was just joking because this is my group. You're not, no one's going to even mention me.
It's also a rhetorical question, right? Like, who's going to take it? Like, opinions are like assholes. Everyone has them, right?
You could tell that. So I was joking that, like, seriously, guys, like, this is almost comical that not one person thinks me, who hosts a show featuring Bravo stuff and Housewives for the last whatever, how many years it had been, 7 years. You don't think I could be an eligible person on this fucking conversation?
You wouldn't even, like, nominate me?
So, like, I could kind of see how you're coming from. Like, if anybody's looking to have someone take over, if Mauricio wants to step back, it should be me, is all you were saying. Right. You were being the squeaky wheel.
Yeah.
You were being the Bethany Frankel. You were stepping up for yourself.
But that's also the story of my life, right? Like, I wouldn't have the successes in my life if I sat back waiting for somebody else to bring those opportunities to me.
Right.
And I think that if I were a guy stepping up, if I were, let's see what Ben says, you know, if we get a season three, when he's, you know, that's how we end the season, right? Ben's being approached to maybe join and run Mo's team. I mean, I don't know what, is that a bad thing? If Ben would have been like, hey, what about me? Like, hey, can I come in and help you out? I have a lot of assets. I can, you know, bring a lot of value. I mean, I just don't know that if it was a male in my position speaking from my experience and also my level of comfort. I mean, I think you have to also take into account the personal relationship that I have with them. It's not like I just came onto the show and just discovered these people, right? Like, we have interpersonal relationships and long-standing relationships. So my level of comfort, both with the girls and with Mauricio and within the company, is maybe a little different than most people are giving me credit for. So I feel like I can just speak a little freer, right? I'm not afraid of my position in the company. Like, I know that the things that I've done are hugely successful, hugely beneficial to the company. But, you know, if it was a guy stepping up and saying, hey, like, you know, let's talk about me for a second, like, they wouldn't be the asshole.
So when it ends, the conversation with the sisters.
Yeah. Oh God, a hot mic moment.
And then what was the hot mic?
I said something like, you fuckers. or something like that. All right, I can't believe you fuckers, or something like that.
And you were referring to the boys.
No, that's
to
funny.
The guys or the
no, production.
Oh, production. It was,
I was because I couldn't believe that I was like
ambushed.
Yeah, like they stormed the Capitol, right? Like,
yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
So I was like, oh my god, I couldn't believe that this was really happening, and I was like shaking. I mean, I must have downed like half a bottle of tequila afterwards.
Yeah.
And, you know, and for them, like, I'm sure they were just like, all right, cool, scene's over, let's go have
good
sushi.
Scene.
You know,
yeah, of
good
course.
Scene, high five.
You're like, my life's ruined, my career is ruined.
For
so
sure.
What did you do to try to rectify it on or off camera following that?
I did. I definitely did. I think, you know, once I realized that I had said that the business suicide,
yeah,
which is a beautiful
what
phrase,
was, what
I
was
must
the
say.
Line you said, if the girls replace Mauricio, it'll be business suicide?
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
I can't confirm or deny. I don't remember my words. Yeah, I mean, it was strong.
Do you call to talk to Mauricio, or does he say, let's come and have a talk?
Yeah, it was both. It was, you know, there was more to that scene. We had a whole office meeting, and so he was there to talk about some important stuff happening within the company. And then he's like, let's talk. And then when we sat down and talked, you know, again, I'm very comfortable with him, which is why
he's
I can give it back to him.
He's very comfortable just to watch. Like,
yes.
He really, I can see why he is such a good CEO and why he's so encouraging for people to want to be in this business, because the way he communicates to people, I think Alexia gets this maybe from him too. Kyle's great as well. But like, he's just very calming and assuring and like doesn't give you like the nerves.
It's that laugh, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It's that laugh that kind of just like makes it all okay.
Right.
But I think, you know, I was capable, I was comfortable having that conversation with him again, just because I'm comfortable with him, right? Because I've asked for things and I'm in the position that I am because I had to ask for them and, you know, they were granted to me. And for me, I'm just a person that, like, if I don't ask, then you don't know that I want it.
Right.
Right. So now I've brought it to the forefront. I see where where he stands and what he thinks about it. I don't know. That's like, no is just a recommendation, right? I mean, I can still continue to prove myself and get to a place
no
of
is
yes.
Just a recommendation is a great line.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I mean, I don't know. That doesn't, no doesn't stop me.
Right.
And I wouldn't be, and you know, from a real estate perspective, hearing no all the time, just like acting, right? That's why they're the two hardest businesses that you're constantly being rejected.
Well, I decided I could either spend my days flogging myself or I could get into real estate. Like, so I chose real estate. Like, it's that brutal.
Yes. We're being beaten down every day, for
yes.
sure.
And so, okay, so go, so when, what did you think when you heard the news that Mauricio and Kyle were in fact separated? Were there any rumblings about it, or were you completely shocked?
No, completely shocked.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I read it when it came out on the internet, for sure.
And did you think it was real?
Only because it was coming out of People Magazine.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I was
right?
like, that's pretty legit.
I mean, a People Magazine exclusive was legit.
And now at the time that it came out, they were actually all at the Aspen house filming Buying Beverly
Probably
Hills.
Probably shit-talking me. In hindsight.
While kayaking and then going to Hermé. And so that it came out and they had their time alone before some of the agents came to
thank God for
to like that. I don't know. I'm going to say it because it's my show. I thought about it later and I'm like, nobody knows who put this out.
Right.
Nobody knows who put this out. But that could be anybody. Just like Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Nobody knows who put out the story about Puppygate.
Right.
It could be
an assistant.
It could be an assistant.
Production.
It could be production.
Anyone. Yeah.
And same thing when people go, oh, did you see, you know, this anonymous item about so-and-so cheating or whatever? I'm like, you don't know that that's not a producer trying to get some action going, having these shows go. So I think whether it was them or something, they knew, and this was a great opportunity to have the family together and alone to have to talk about this.
Oh, I don't think they knew.
You don't think they
knew? I don't think they knew.
Okay, well.
But I mean,
I don't think the kids or anybody knew. But I'm just wondering, I think someone on production, somebody knew.
That it was happening?
That they were actually living separately and put that story out there and had it drop at a time so that it could drop while they're together and then can film this reaction. Either that or it was really kind of great divine intervention reality style because – you know,
it was like 4th of July, wasn't it? So they always are together. Well, I don't know. I didn't think about the time like that.
Yeah. And then what do you think about the question I've asked myself 150 times? Morgan and Kyle. What I liked is we saw it happen on Beverly Hills. We saw it happen in the press prior. Are they just friends? Is it just that she loves her music and is helping to do a documentary about her? Are they just, you know, there's an age difference, their same-sex relationship, whatever. But what I thought was interesting about Mauricio in the show is he goes, the other guy, what's
Santiago.
This? Yeah, goes, what is this? Because I'm seeing in the press, like, are they? And he's like, I don't know. But she's obviously getting a lot from that relationship, and I'm happy for you, her. I was like, okay. So then I was like, okay, now I have a totally different perspective of their marriage. Now every marriage is different. I really think that they really didn't communicate that much as a couple. I really don't. I think they led a great life. I think every time they went to a black tie, they had a great time. I think they had sexy time after. I think she made a great meal. I think he went off and did her thing. I think they didn't really argue. Like she said, we really didn't argue. We really didn't have our stuff. And so it's like, it's weird. Like I really don't think he cares if she is in a lesbian relationship for now. I just think every marriage is different. And I think for some people, they're fine chugging along and until they're not, until it really is. And you do think back to the psychic when she goes, he'll never emotionally fulfill you, which seemed so off kilter, so wrong.
Also, she was so ahead of the vaping game, right?
I mean, wow. And I thought that was so weird and so rude and everything. And then all the years after that, I was like, that chick's wrong. Look at them. But anybody that gets divorced, it's because they're not being emotionally fulfilled by their partner. Maybe there's cheating. Maybe there's this. But if you were completely best friends connected, I mean, I don't know that you wouldn't be able to make it work. So that's a very general statement that anyone could say. Any divorced person, you'd say, oh, your husband that you're divorced from, was he emotionally fulfilling you? No.
I found it on a personal note, like when I had lost my mom, when I was struggling with, you know, with everything, it was like he could do no right, to be perfectly honest.
My husband
could do no right. I was like, everything I say, you're not hearing me. Everything I say, you're not doing. So, you know, and by the way, the show was also, I wanted to do something that I have control over, which evidently, in reality television, you have no control over it. And I've learned that the hard way.
With this show, did they say, can we show your family or anything? And was that a question?
Yes, but we said no.
Oh, you did say no.
Yes.
Okay, good. How old are your kids?
I have a 12-year-old and 14-year-old. Mm-hmm. So there are two boys. So they're like very impressionable. And, you know, I'd rather if they show my kids, it's on my terms. It's not on theirs.
Right. I think that's really smart. And I just think, you know, there are some kids that are like dying to do anything.
I mean, kids go to school with every reality star, you know, kid. So it's like it's not exciting for them.
Right.
You know, I mean, they're
I just remember the one time that we were doing something for a possible pilot for like a show about me. Not until recently did my son say how much he even hated like those 2 days of filming. And that he was like, if this show goes, I'm just not going to participate. And I'm like, what would I have done?
You are the show.
Thank God the show didn't go.
Yeah.
But it went to go show that even though you think that you're so close to your kids and they can come to you and tell you everything. And he was acting like he was okay with the mic pack.
He was afraid to tell you no.
He was becoming resentful and like praying that the show wouldn't go. And thank God it didn't.
Yeah.
And so it's like, it's really hard when people put their kids in it and they think, oh, they're fine. Or, oh, let me just do this video with them, or let me exploit them in this way. And they're really not.
Yeah.
So I really think in this age of more exposure, social media and everything else, you really have to like check in with your kids. And maybe they were okay with it 3 years ago, and now they're not.
Yeah.
Just like maybe they wanted to do gymnastics when they're 6 and they don't want to do it at 12. Like,
yeah, their ideas are with the wind.
Yeah, the kids change. And so...
But also like imagine, okay, so now you know my edit.
Right.
Now you see me on the show. And my kids are watching.
Okay, so what happened?
So, I mean, literally, I was like, I was holding my breath, like, are my kids going to hate me? Are they going to think differently of me? You know, I was like, I had to say, I drove them to school the morning that the show was coming out. And I was like, okay, guys, I'm like, you know, mommy's spicy sometimes. You know, mommy's like, you know, says things in a really firm way. And they're like, yes. I'm like, but you know that I'm not a bitch. And they're like, no. I'm like, you know that mommy, like, really has good people. You know, I had to, like, almost, like,
sell myself
exactly. And so and they ended up watching it. I said we're gonna watch it when you guys get home tonight. And they ended up watching it throughout the day at school. So it was so funny how my son is texting me in the middle of the school day, and he's like, why is Ben mad at you? And I'm like, what are you doing?
He's just like at lunch watching it.
He's like, did he really unfollow Brandon? And I was like, get to school, get to class. So, and I was like, no, everything's fine. Like, we're fine. It's a TV show. But afterwards, they just said, Mom, like, that part was really cringe. Don't say that word again. And I was like, okay, but do you still love me? And they're like, of course we do. And they were so proud of me. And they're like, next time we see him, we're gonna punch him in the face. I'm like, we're not gonna do that. But I appreciate the support and the backup. I'm like, but yeah, I'm like, it's very fun.
Have your kids ever brought you potential clients? Because I had to do that for my parents. Like, listen up, and I'd be like, Mom, this Johnny's dad's getting transferred, and, like, give a hot tip. Have they ever, like, brought you or through them you've gotten?
Well, I used to let them go, like, bike around the neighborhood, and I would give them my business cards, and I'm like, if you can bring me any lead, I'll give you $100. And they would pass out my business card.
So I love it.
I would do that.
We had to deliver pumpkins to every house.
Oh, boy.
During October, and it would be, because like that the was mini when you pumpkins, really farm. No, they were, like, the $7. And my dad would, like, rent a truck, and we would be, like...
That's manual labor right there.
Yeah, we'd have friends in the back, no seatbelts, nothing, in the back of a big pickup truck, putting on each porch with, like, an envelope with all the info and, you know, these pumpkins. And finally, we realized, and then we switched to coupons for the pumpkin. It was too much. But, yeah, it was a lot of work.
I put them to work, for sure.
Yeah, good.
I think it's good for them.
Absolutely.
No hot tips, but I do – I'm very involved at the school, and I, you know – look, my the way that I work is all of my business is repeat and referral and friendships, and I have a great repertoire with I like to make it fun. I like to make what I do. I mean, contrary to what you see, like, I like to make my business fun. But I also think that if you're going to have somebody, what I do like about the show is that people are going to know I'm somebody who is going to have your back. I'm someone who's going to fight for you. I'm not I'm not going to be walked all over. And so I have your best interest at heart. And I think that when you're choosing an agent, you really want to have somebody who's strong and firm. And so that, I think, is that definitely came across in the show. And I think it'll appeal to the right clientele, let's put it that way.
Okay, two more questions.
Yeah.
Okay, so if the show comes back for the third season, do you have any reservations about returning to it and being on it?
Obviously, yes. But at the same token, like, I think it gives me an opportunity as, like, a little, you know, maybe you can get to know me in a different light, right? And in a more positive light. You know, everyone loves a comeback kid. And and also, you know, reality TV, like, every season you start to love and hate different people in a different way. So I think that I think the show could do well with me on it. I don't see why not.
And you were saying, how does your husband feel? Was it stressful for him, even though he wasn't on it, having this extra job of filming? Because while you're actually doing your real estate work, how often were you putting on a mic pack and being followed around and stuff?
Thankfully, we didn't do any filming in my house or with him around. So it was all, you know, going to events and going, you know, to set locations in the office. So he didn't see much of an impact on it other than, you know, having to take the kids to school when I was doing hair and makeup.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think he'd be okay if I didn't do it again.
Okay.
But
he's okay if you do it again.
But he's okay if I do it again. Yeah.
And you mentioned hair and makeup. So if you want hair and makeup before the people come to slap the mic on you, would you have to pay for that yourself?
100%.
And how was the payment for it? You don't have to tell me, but does it get better with each season, or was it?
That's my understanding, is that there's a step-up basis each season, which is normal from what I understand.
Yeah, it's never very much in the beginning.
Yeah. But it's okay. I mean, look, the
bigger picture is you're on a show that's in 150 countries or whatever it is.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I mean, I think I thought to myself one day after it came out, I was like, holy shit. Like, this is a global show. And it's, you know, it was what, top 10 in 26 countries or something at one point.
Right.
So it's pretty massive. I don't know. I told my husband, I was like, look, I'm like, we're going to take the escalator and see where it takes us, you know, instead of just walking up the stairs. And that's what this show is, I think, for me, for business, for whatever our next steps are as a family.
I think what you're doing is smart. I think you stay on it. And I don't think you involve the family, no matter how much they try and beg you. I would not. That's my advice.
They didn't involve anybody else's family. So,
okay.
I think
well,
it's
you
fair.
Never know. Couple seasons down, they might be like, but you're so funny and your family and da da da. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I would say no.
My husband would not really be cool with it.
I think it
and
would.
And I understand that.
Because what happens is these husbands agree to do Housewives or whatever, and they're confident and they're happy. And then they get a taste of like fucking losers in their basement being like, he was mean to you when he poured the coffee. You should leave him. And he didn't look, and what was with that ugly sweater? And yeah. The guy is like, what? Like, I've lived a confident life my whole life. Like, who? And it can really...
It can mess with your
head.
And
that's why there's, you know, 100 divorces or whatever it's been since the show started. So I would protect
that
your private
world.
Marriage and mm-hmm. family, like, as much as possible would
yeah,
be my advice.
And protect myself. I mean, I don't have comments activated on my Instagram. I just don't care enough.
So, oh, so it's just a photo, but you could like it, but you don't can't comment.
I think you have to have like a certain, like, either I follow you, or you follow me back. I'm not really sure.
Oh, okay.
But I have no interest in people's negativity or
yeah.
or what they, you know. Hopefully
that's,
it's all
again,
praise.
That
but...
is smart. Like, I feel like all these little things, like, you know, when people enter this world, I always say there should be like a little like,
a tutorial.
I could be the Real Housewife consultant or whatever to just give you some of these tips of how to get the most out of it, but also these things can really protect your mental health.
Totally. And well, Netflix does a good job of that, I will
oh,
tell
good,
you.
Oh, good,
yeah, they do highlight that before we went out.
Uh-huh.
But yeah, absolutely. I mean, I just, again, you know, I just feel like I'm a grown-ass woman. Like, I don't care what somebody in God knows where has to say about a moment that they saw in my life. And
that's good, because a lot of people it would, you know. And
well,
I'm not trying to be a reality star.
I'm not going on, like, Road Was Real World Challenge, right? Like,
but I mean, sometimes, you know, you could hear 100 really nice comments and it's that one and it just, you know, it's really hard to get to that place with the blinders. Yeah.
I mean, Sonica, who's on our show, she went on TikTok and she was like, I'm getting death threats. Like, people be nice.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what did she do that she deserves a death threat? Like, it's a reality show about real estate, you know?
Yeah.
So anyhow,
I really enjoyed meeting you. I'm sure you've gotten calls from people that hopefully want to list their house or get into real estate or whatever. So how can they find you? What's the quickest way?
Best way is on Instagram, Michelle Schwartz Realtor. And I like to help out anybody. I like to pay it forward. So anyone who's been asking me advice on real estate, I've been engaging with them, giving them just top line info. And I really like to teach. So yeah. So that's probably the best way to get in touch with me. And on there, you have all my office information as well. So I hope I can sell your house or help you buy a house.
Awesome. Thank you so much. That was
great.
Thank
you. Thank you for the opportunity.